Hello, and welcome to Talkin' Music on KVNF. I'm Allie Lightfoot. One of my all-time favorite musicians, soul singer Sharon Jones, passed away last Friday at the age of 60 after a long battle with pancreatic cancer. I was thrilled in the summer of 2015 when I had a chance to speak with her by phone before she performed at the Telluride Blues and Brews Festival. Jones didn't find commercial success until she was well into her 40s. Before finding that success, she had many other day jobs, including a stint as a corrections officer. The inmates, she told me, encouraged her to pursue her music career. She would sing The Greatest Love of All to them before lockup at night, and they told her she was meant for bigger things. She'd been fighting cancer on and off since 2012. Gabriel Roth, who's a member of Jones' backing band, the Dap Kings, said he flew to Cooperstown, New York, to be by her side, along with the rest of the Dap Kings. Jones had suffered a stroke watching the election results. After that stroke, she couldn't move her leg, but she could still talk. Gabriel Roth said that Sharon blamed Trump for giving her the stroke. Sharon had another stroke that left her unable to speak later in the week, but she could still hum and sing. The Dap Kings reported that she sang Amazing Grace and Go Tell It on the Mountain, and This Little Light of Mine, and they just stayed with her and sang with her and played music until the end. When I spoke to her in September of 2015, she just learned that her cancer had returned, but she remained optimistic and believed that she would be able to beat it. The sound quality of this interview is not perfect, but I felt like I would air it anyway to honor this amazing woman and showcase her tremendous talent with a tribute. She was really just getting started. Here's that interview. I'm speaking with Sharon Jones, and you've had a busy couple of weeks. I know that your the documentary film following your career and battle with cancer called Miss Sharon Jones started showing at festivals. You began the tour with the Dap Kings, and you have a new album being released soon. And you announced last week that you were battling cancer again. So that sounds... That's like a lot of things happening at once, and I'm wondering how you're doing and how you cope with that many sort of life-changing events happening at once.
I know. You know, the good thing is the documentary and, you know, the Christmas album, and the cancer is back, but, you know, with all the positive things going on And I think you just keep a positive attitude. The first time, you know, when they discovered I had to have the Whipple, I was really down and out. Now it's lesions on the liver, and you know, they chemo, bad enough the chemo does things to your body, but it's nowhere near like the last time, and that's why I'm feeling the way I feel. And it's just, I just started last Wednesday, and I have to take the pills every day, 6, but, I'm shot. I get that every 3 weeks, but there's all chemo still going in there. Just little things that I expect, like numbing, tingling of the fingertips and the feet. I mean, those little things I can deal with, you know, right now, and it's a therapy. So I'm feeling great and looking forward to doing these Telluride and coming out and seeing the people and you know, that's balance, getting through, and that's what, you know, that keeps me going. It's my therapy. And that's the attitude I have. And that's just being with the sickness, with the cancer, knowing it's there, you know, knowing it's a battle. I would love it when they say there's no cancer in my body, and I would love to hear that, you know. And I know that's what's going to happen, and I'm staying positive, you know. I just got to keep going.
Girl and took her hand, he told her, never will I leave you, my love. But just as soon as he's gone again, she's a flapping in the wind, wondering what she must have been thinking of. She said, darling, I've been in and out so many doors, and I've always tried to keep my head with all the men I've known before. I've seen a thing that only evil men can bring. Let me skin this cat another way.
Hey, hey,
there was a man who had a plan to settle down with Mary Ann, but she left him on his wedding day.
Hey, hey,
he's a
my very favorite version of This Land Is Your Land, and it's probably my favorite song about America because it highlights what I personally love and hold close about this country, and that's sort of the natural beauty and the diversity of the people. I'm wondering why you originally chose to do to perform that song, and what about that song do you love?
You know, a lot of those songs was his reasons for doing that song. I think it had a lot to do with coming around with the election. You know, it was around the time when Bush was in the chair and what we had started that stupid war.
Uh-huh.
You know, I don't like getting too political, but it was around the time of us being Democrats and things was happening we didn't like. And bringing that song out when This Land was out with the Vietnam War, you know, all these songs back in, you know what I mean? Those songs, they were about the war and about the way things was going, you know?
This land is your land.
That's soul singer Sharon Jones, who passed away last Friday. I'm Allie Lightfoot, and we'll continue with the interview I did by phone in September of 2015 with Miss Sharon Jones. So you grew up in Brooklyn, and you spent years working as a corrections officer at Rikers Island until 19...
Believe it or not, it was 2 years. It was 2 years. I went in 88, and I was out of there by 90. And believe it or not, the first few months I was in there, it was like an omen. It wasn't meant for me to be, because correction was going to take me away from singing. That was going to be my career. That was going to be how I was going to make it. I was going to work and do correction and get me a home and make money, just work all around the clock, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I got in there. It was like, no, I'm meant to sing. You know, that's my calling. It was like an omen. The first couple of weeks I was in there, fell and pulled a groin muscle on the side. I was out for 2 weeks. Went back into work. Car hit me. I'm in an accident. So I was out for like 9 months on in a laying up. Can't even work because I was in a car accident. And so out of the 2 years, I only worked probably 9 months. And the rest of it, I was home on the house arrest. You know, because I was sick in and out. You know. With a back brace in it and this from the car. So it was like an omen, you know? And that was it. So you see?
Yeah.
My little experience of correction, it was a phase I had to go through with. But
right.
Here I am.
Yeah, it did. Yeah. It was like, this is not for you. You're not staying here. We have other things in store for you.
Inmates even told me that. The inmates told me I wasn't going to make it. When they made me sing The Greatest Love, or else they wasn't going to lock up. And I had to sing a verse and a chorus of The Greatest Love.
Wow.
And then they locked up. And then they said, Miss Jones, you're not going to make it here. You're too nice. And I'm like, okay, baby. And they was right. And, you know.
Yeah, and the rest is history. So
That's right.
You've toured and worked with so many talented and unique performers. You're one yourself. Have you noticed anything about people who do break through and have that sort of everlasting impact on music? You know, the people who end up standing out, besides their incredible talent, is there something about their personality or approach to music that you've noticed in people that have that kind of impact?
Well, a lot of the people that have the impact is doing good stuff. It takes them a little longer for people to see who they are. Because to me nowadays, they seem to, a lot of these younger new stuff is they selling a lot of sex. You know, it's about sexuality. It's about sex. You know, and they coming out and they making so much money, so many millions, and they getting big poppy millions and millions of people, and they people picking up Grammys like that. And it took years for the people from the 60s. Some of those singers back never even got Grammys. You know, they may have been nominated, never got anything. So everything is so different, so changed, so raw, and so out there. And I just don't feel like I can ever compete with, you know, what's going on. And we'll not try. So things have changed. It's different, but I think with me, I'm not trying to sell sexuality. I'm not trying to go out there in a bathing suit on stage and with my stuff hanging all out and trying to sell that. I'm selling my voice. Me and the Dad Kings, we get up there, we selling our music. We selling what we do, the music. And there's a big difference. So,
I'm
You're listening to an interview and tribute to soul singer Sharon Jones, who passed away last Friday. Record executives rejected Sharon Jones for many years, despite her dynamic presence, knockout performance style, and powerful voice. She was told that she was too short, too wide, and even at 25, was told she was too old. She took part-time jobs and nightclub gigs and sang backup for soul artist Lee Fields, among others, who introduced her to what became the Dap Kings. Sharon started performing with the Dap Kings, and they released their first album together in 2004. The band didn't really gain traction until after Amy Winehouse made the world safe for gutsy retro soul singers with the song Rehab in 2006, for which she employed Sharon Jones' backing band, the Dap Kings. Here Sharon talks about the reluctance to support acts like hers in the U.S. and the lack of acknowledgement for the genre of soul music.
I just think what you do is different, even though there's, you know, it's like part of the sort of soul revival thing that I think you started personally. But yeah.
Well, you know what? They don't want to acknowledge it, but we did, because people don't realize that we've been out here almost 20 years right now. 2016, that'll be 20 years. If you look at 96 with the first, people, they don't know. And even though they say 96 was our first, you know, getting out, it's been a while. So we got some stuff. And a lot of those, Amy Winehouse and Mark Ronson, they weren't even doing stuff until, you know, they heard of us and everybody want, you know, over in Europe, they've been doing soul. And if I'd have been in Europe last year, I would have won a Grammy for soul music. You understand?
Yeah.
I would have won that if I had been over there. But over here in the States, they don't even have a category for soul music.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's, you know, but that's why when I came up for R&B, I knew I wasn't going to win any R&B, because I'm not an R&B singer. We do soul music.
Yeah.
And what they call R&B and soul music today is not soul. It's R&B. Pop. It's not even R&B. It's pop. Because R&B got a new name now. R&B means pop, not you know, rhythm and blues.
Mm-hmm.
The rhythm and blues are gone.
Thank you so much for joining me today, Miss Sharon Jones. It's been a real pleasure talking to you.
All right. It was a pleasure talking with you, and thank you for letting people know about us and putting this stuff out there. You got the... You got the... You got the...
Show how much he loves me, really, really. be my love, not a two-time in lover, just a love I can call my own.
Thank you for listening to Talkin' Music on KVNF. I'm Allie Lightfoot, and you've been listening to a tribute to soul singer Sharon Jones, who passed away last Friday.